sack? Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning. You're listening to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, Director of Operations and Buyer Agent for the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And to my left is Becky Ivins, leader of the Becky Ivins Team. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning, Mark.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
Oh, great. And we have with us as our guest Matt McLean of SWBC Mortgage, our mortgage company. How are you doing this morning, Matt?
Great, Mark. Good morning, Becky.
Yeah.
So, Matt, let's get it over with. What's your number?
119-7740.
There you go.
Yep. There you go. I'm 180484. I love giving out the numbers.
I'm old. I only have five numbers. I'm 47388.
Well, Becky, at least it's not like which number? Two.
I know, like Robin's Roofing. I mean, like their license number is something like three. I mean.
That's great.
So, okay. We've talked home loans before, the different types of home loans and how they fit the person. But today we're going to talk a little bit about what type of home loan fits the property being mortgaged. And I think that's important because not every mortgage product can be used on every type of housing or every type of property.
I think this will be really interesting of hearing the different types of loans there are, and to I think it should be helpful to many.
Our subject matter on the radio is often triggered by things that happen within our office.
Exactly.
And we had a property recently that someone was purchasing, and it turns out it was zoned commercial. It was a house, but someone had changed the zoning to commercial, and they were being qualified for an FHA loan. Now, what's the problem there, Matt?
Being zoned commercial?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the use of the property, and FHA does not allow a zoned commercial property.
How about VA?
VA is the same, exactly.
Oh, how about conventional?
Conventional would be the same, and so would USDA. So really, all four of your major loan products do not allow commercial properties.
Right, even if they're a house.
That is correct.
So what would be the solution to that if you still want to buy that house?
You'd have to likely go to a local bank or lender.
Right. Because that loan could not be sold on the secondary market, right?
That is correct.
You just have to fund that yourself with your own money at your mortgage company or your bank.
Correct. Yes.
And another option there would be to get the property rezoned.
True.
Because it's pretty easy to get downgrade on your zoning, which is residential, as opposed to upgrading to a commercial.
I did not. So going from a commercial to a residential is a downgrade.
If it's a kind of a residential area, like on a major artery street where people still live, but there's still commercial.
Mixed use.
Northwest 23rd Post Road in Midwest City is like that. It was residential all along there, but now it's a boulevard street, and there's all kinds of offices on these one-acre lots because a lot of people lived on 1 acre or half acre over there, and now they're having they're doing the business zoning and doing these nice big offices on Post Road. So, and that's about 15th Street to Reno. It's a pretty big deal over there. But if you have a house and you've got your land zoned commercial, you can't go get regular financing on that.
That's exactly.
So, okay.
That's why I like coming on this show. I have already learned something this morning.
There you go.
The first 5 minutes.
Well, so there's other types of properties. Most of the time, what folks buy for housing in our area, is single family detached.
Correct.
Just a house.
Right.
Sitting on a plot of land, right? You actually purchase the land with the house sitting on it.
Correct.
Even though we think of it differently, we think about buying the house that's on there.
Right. Rarely does the land, is the land discussed, but you're correct.
Right, right. So that, and I'll tell you an interesting thing is I learned a few years ago about, I do some commercial real estate, not a lot. Usually it's for my my residential clients. And I do a decent amount of commercial real estate. I learned about land leases where you really don't own the land that your business sits on, particularly, say, along Memorial Road. All the restaurants up on Memorial Road, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's basically one guy that owns all the land.
Interesting.
You can build an expensive restaurant up there, but you get a land lease for a period of time, maybe 15 years, maybe 10 years, maybe 20 years. Kind of depends. And the lease is not only a monthly amount to lease the land that building sits on, but oftentimes, because of the location of it, they will charge a percentage of the cash register receipts, up to 10%.
Interesting.
So like Chili's that's sitting up there on Hefner Parkway is, I'm told, they pay not only their land lease, but 10% of their cash register take goes to the landlord that owns that land.
Well, that's good. Nice to be own land.
Nice Man, to own land on
the phrase
Memorial
that came
Road,
to my mind
right?
was nice to be king. Wow. Man.
Well, so, I mean, there's a lot to real estate that folks really never get to see. And one of those things is the different types of properties require different types of financing. So if it's a condo, can you get a regular conventional loan on a condo?
You absolutely can. From a condo perspective, the key is whether or not that project is an approved project. So Fannie Mae, for instance, one of the government-sponsored entities, similar to Freddie Mac, they will have a list of approved condo projects. And if that condo and that project is on that list, then we can grant conventional financing. There's a process you can go through to get that project approved, but it's fairly lengthy in time and fairly detailed. But it can be done.
The last condo complex approved in America was one that Ken McBride helped me do right here in Oklahoma City.
In America.
They don't approve them anymore. That is over. And this is HUD, not okay. Fannie Mae. Okay. This is FHA. And it took 5 legal letters, evaluations from an attorney. And we went through the Denver regional office, and we got that approved. It was the difference is there's a little set of condos up, you know, where what's the Rib Crib now? It used to be the Rib Crib. It's
on Northwest Expressway.
Northwest Expressway, but mm-hmm. anyway, by Applebee's, and, mm-hmm. and it's back oh, behind there right. to the north of there.
Yeah,
there's some fourplexes along there, and I think I've forgotten 74th Street, 72nd Street, something mm-hmm. like that, in Edgewater Park. Those are condos. They're fourplexes, so you buy one unit. And the fact is that to be a condo, you have to be, no one person can own more than 10% of the units.
In the complex.
In the complex. Each one of those buildings of four is its own condo complex. So if you own one unit, that's 25%, so it doesn't meet the rule. So there's different rules like that, and there's no way that that complex was going to meet it. We got it. Now, not all of them are approved. That building's approved.
Mm-hmm.
So it only approved one of them when they did that.
The four
units. Its own complex.
Because it's own complex.
Uh-huh. Each one of those is its own, has its own HOA.
Wow, that complex is complex.
It is a complex complex, right?
Yeah, completely.
We have a lot more coming because there's a lot more types of property and various amounts of loans, types of loans that we need to discuss. So we'll return with more after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.
Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're here with Becky Ivins, the leader of the real estate team, and Mark Carr, director of operations, and Matt McLean from SWBC. And we're talking about the different types of loans and that go with the different types of properties. Because there's just not one type.
Most of the time we think about which loan fits a particular type of person.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right? With their credit score, the amount of money they've got down.
Correct.
You kind of think about the person. But sometimes the property matters. Getting ready to list a place in, I forgot whether it's Jones or Hera, somewhere east. And smaller house on 10 acres, nice 10 acres, expensive fence. Sizable outbuildings and several of them.
Right.
But the house is kind of small. So, what do I need to know about something like that in order to get the right, what type of financing is available for a property like that?
Yeah, right. So, I mean, off the top of my head, I would likely come up with three loan products. The first would be your conventional loan product. The second would be a VA, and the third would be a USDA. And they all have different matrix and variables associated. But I think the biggest challenge, Becky, will be the value of the land versus the value of your overall properties. And that typically cannot exceed 30%. So if your land value is more than 30% of the value of your property and land, you're going to have an issue. That's going to be a blocker.
Yeah, and so many people do not know that. And we run into that in Oklahoma. Central
right.
Oklahoma,
we do. So,
we have lots of acreage.
So if you have a small house and, say, 100 acres, then, like, you're buying a large piece of land or, you know, that kind of thing, then these kind of products won't work for that.
Yeah, that's likely not going to qualify.
Okay. Right.
So if it's a $200,000 purchase price, the house itself sitting on a very small parcel of land, like a lot or 1 acre, something like that, if it were somewhere close by and you got a comparable property and the house would sell for, let's just say, $120,000, that's, you can't get one of those loans.
That's
if
correct.
The whole thing is $200,000, right?
And I tell you, you bring, that is correct, yes. But you bring up another good point, and that's comparable properties, which that tends to be a challenge as well. It's finding comparable properties, similar use to that particular example.
You know, we've got a new listing that's a couple weeks old, maybe a week old, that is in Nuwala. And it is a house that's listed at $385,000, and it's a fairly new house, an extremely nicely built home for where it's located, because the properties around it, it's 3 acres, and the properties around it may have 1 to 5 acres, but they've got little bitty kind of bad houses on them. I mean, it's a rusty type neighborhood. But you drive into this place. Have you seen that property yet, Mark?
I have not, no.
Okay.
Yep.
That, it's on Armadillo Road.
Love it.
Uh-huh.
Only in Oklahoma.
I know. Do you know something? We crossed an armadillo on the road, kind of made it halt just night before last. It was kind of funny. Jim said, "Did you see that?" I said, "Yes, armadillo, kind of a small one." So, but anyway, Armadillo Road, and it is a spectacular home. Has a little apartment in a basement that is a kind of a walkout basement on one side of the house. You walk out, and it's got a huge garage, a craft room, kind of a planting room downstairs and stuff. But to find comparables for that, the appraiser had to go out about, what was it, like 10 or 12 miles.
Wow.
To find comparables, because everything around it within the like couple of miles was old.
Right.
So you couldn't find any new 10-foot ceiling houses, mm-hmm. and, you know, kind of an upscale house. But now that was like a paradise property, though. It's so if you're looking to be, if you're a professor at OU, if you're a botany professor at OU, that's the perfect person for this house.
Because, the gardening around it.
Oh,
yeah.
It's spectacular and pretty easy to care for, because the person who owned this property knew all about the plants. And so they're not like annuals. Everything's perennial and different colors without a lot of maintenance. So it is a beautiful property. So anyway, close enough to OU to teach there and commute. But that property will, to find value, we had to go 10 or 12 miles away.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So finding a little house on 100 acres that hasn't been broken up, and likely it would be more like most of the time 80, maybe 120 acres, something like that, because it's the way that our sections are done.
That would be a challenge. But you also bring up another good point, and that is, you know, can we carve out 10 of the 100 and associate it with that property?
Which is what happens most of the time.
Right.
And then you don't have enough money to buy except the 10 acres with the house on it. But then you can go get a farm home loan for your land itself that is unimproved land, they call it. Unimproved meaning there's no structure on it, basically.
Right.
So when you see acreages with farms, almost always, even if they have several outbuildings like a barn and an implement shed and a loafing shed, all this kind of stuff, all that's almost always located on 10 acres. It may be spread out, but it will be a carved out 10 acres so that the loan could be purchased on that.
That's really interesting. So in that situation, the farm loan that they go get, like, what is the difference in that between the two? Because most of us understand kind of the single family loan that we have, and because we've taken out one, but farm loan is...
Yeah, right. So I mentioned USDA. Uh-huh. Well, they have both farm loans and they have residential loans. So perhaps it could wrap up under a USDA loan, but it would be on the farm loan side, the agricultural side, if you will.
And what's the difference as far as the process of, like, the loan to value and that sort of thing?
Yeah, not a significant difference in loan to value, but the process, there will be a difference. For instance, SWBC Mortgage, we don't offer farm loans. Through USDA. We offer the residential properties, but not the farm loan.
Mm-hmm.
So typically, again, you're going to likely go to a bank and most likely a regional local bank that's offering that product.
Yeah, okay.
So, and the interesting thing about a USDA loan is it has to be in a rural area. You can't get that on a regular, say there you've got 10 acres in town somewhere, just because someone's preserved 10 acres. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got a few of those, like in Edmond, that are in-town acreages. But can you get a USDA loan on those?
No, you cannot. And it's a very good point. The Oklahoma City Metro, your chances of getting USDA loan are practically nil, zero. Outside, for instance, in Guthrie or perhaps Piedmont, UConn, those areas, there are certain areas that do qualify for USDA loan. It's an outstanding loan product. I won't go into the details, but it's a great loan product, but there are certain parameters in terms of that loan product.
It's a map, basically,
it
right?
It is a map, yeah. Their site, USDA website, provides a map. You literally can type in the address of the property, and it will tell you whether or not it is it is in their approved location or geographic location.
So there is a lot to know about mortgages and types of properties and the type of mortgage that would best fit a buyer. And we're going to tell you about zero down when we come back. What's the very least amount of down payment that you can get on a loan, even if you're not a veteran?
Right.
So listen up. We'll be back with more
of Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move on News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're here with Becky Ivins, leader of the real estate team, and Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage, and I'm Mark Carr.
Okay, so this is Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. We're pretty fearless when we go to get folks qualified. We like to work with folks with excellent credit. However, sometimes there's a challenge. And we do our best to help you get that loan pre-qualified so that you can go out as a powerful purchaser.
Right.
Because either, do you know a good loan letter is better, is more powerful than someone who says they have cash?
Interesting.
In the now, if you have proof of funds. Like you've got the bank account right there.
Right.
I'll tell you, most of the time, our cash buyers, it's not their money. It's the parents' money or a grandparents' money, and they'll provide proof of funds, but it won't have their name on it. And the purchaser needs to have the proof of funds in their name, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So there's a lot to that. It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing for a small repair or an entire roof, commercial or residential. So to contact them, it is 728-3700, 728-3700. Our word of the day today is down payment. Matt, what is a down payment?
Down payment is an initial upfront payment that our client will make on a loan. And down payments are driven by the loan product. So, for instance, on a conventional loan, typically you have a 5% down payment, or on a $100,000 purchase transaction, it would be $5,000, Mark. On an FHA loan, it's 3.5%. On a VA loan, it's 0% down payment. A USDA loan, it is 0% down payment. So it's the initial payment that you make towards the loan transaction, and it varies by loan product.
This is one of the things that a lot of people get confused about like how much down payment do I have to have? Is there a way for me to that they want to put that 20% down so they don't have to pay that private mortgage insurance, and other ones they want really 0% down.
Right.
So how do you determine that for which down payment and loan product is right?
Yeah, so I think it may have been last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked a little bit about the process, the pre-qualification process, and what we try to do at SWBC, Dean and I, we want to sit down with our clients. And we want to clearly understand what their objectives are and what they have available to achieve those objectives. So we're going to gather asset information. We're going to gather bank account information. We're going to gather cash information. But we're going to gather all this information, and then we lay out the various options that they can qualify for, depending on their down payment resources.
So on the loans, you have a minimum amount of down payment required on each type of loan. And so it's kind of a loan-to-value right? Loan to value ratio.
That is correct.
Like it's a 95% loan, it's right. a 96.5% loan, 100% loan, it's an 80% loan.
Correct.
That means how much you're bringing to the table yourself. The mortgage company brings the big number. They write the check. Actually, nowadays they wire in the funds for almost all the price of that house.
Correct.
And then the consumer borrower pays it back in monthly increments with interest.
Correct.
Okay. But some folks don't have a down payment saved up. They've got excellent credit, but no down payment. A lot of those folks would be called veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Because they move pretty often.
They do.
And anytime you purchase property, my theory is as soon as you close, it's worth 90% of what you paid for it. Because if you had to turn around and sell it the next day, your cost of selling can be pretty easily between about 7.5%, 9.5%. So you've got to purchase right to start with. Mm-hmm. You've got to purchase for the right value. And then veterans move pretty often because they are stationed at different right. places. And so they don't have time for their property to inflate or accelerate in value.
Appreciate, right.
Yeah, appreciate. There's the word. So the government offers them as a benefit a 100% loan to value, right?
They do. Yes.
So zero down, but then there's closing cost. There's insurance purchase that has to be made and setting up your escrows. So there, it does take some money to purchase a home.
It does.
However, you can get in with absolutely zero down. You can put, say, a $2,000 earnest money check up and actually get a refund of that at closing.
Correct.
If the seller will pay all your closing costs.
That is correct.
Harder and harder to do in today's environment, though.
Today's market, right.
Because there's fewer houses on the market, which means that sellers don't have to pay all the buyer's closing costs typically. So buyers are having to come to the table with more of their own closing costs instead of financing it in over time. So veterans, if you have eligibility. And boy, that's a whole new story. You know, back in the day, a few years ago, or maybe a few months ago, either you were eligible or you were not for a VA loan. You had a certificate of eligibility or you didn't. It's not that way anymore, is it, Matt?
No, it is not. You're correct, Becky.
You've got to have so many points.
Oh, yes. Now I know where you're going with this.
Okay.
You're correct.
So the points are, I don't understand the points. I'm trying to understand the points, but it seems to be a moving target.
It is a moving target. And to be quite honest with you, I've been stumped a little bit, Mark, with the point system. So, you know, it's an issue that we have to look up and validate with the VA.
Right, because the veteran doesn't walk around with that information.
That's exactly right.
They can have a certificate of eligibility. And literally not qualify,
yes.
not be eligible for a VA loan.
I thought there was a form, and I can't – there's a number form, RJ
– DD-214.
Yes, there it is. I knew it sounded like an R2-D2 bot.
Yeah.
And I thought if they had that, they're good.
No. That's DD-214 is your separation papers from
okay.
the military.
You're right.
Okay.
And that just says – when you separated and what was your status because you...
But that doesn't have the eligibility
no,
for the
then
VA.
No, there is a
there.
Certificate. You have to have your DD-214 to get your certificate of eligibility
from the VA. That's what I'm connecting.
But
interesting.
We've had a couple people that got their certificate of eligibility and we were told they were eligible and then it gets right up to a week before closing or so and the VA goes, no, not really. They don't have enough points. So what we're going to do is
wow.
bring you that show about VA eligibility because
idea.
It is
yeah.
It's a complex issue and one that veterans are going to need to get verified with the VA prior to applying for a home loan. And I will tell you that the VA talks out of both sides of their mouth sometimes. We're going to have to get someone here because we've been told yes and been sent the certificate of eligibility, mm-hmm. and then the veteran doesn't qualify because of not enough points, whatever the points are.
Boy, so, how aggravating. Mm. How upsetting.
Well, right. And it's a lot of money spent by that veteran on home inspections, an appraisal on the property, very easily $1,000 out of that veteran's pocket, and then the VA says you're not eligible. We're going to get to the bottom of it, but that's another whole show. Right. So right now, what we're talking about is zero down. We promise to tell folks how you can get a zero down payment even if you're not a veteran. So, Matt, what is that? You give us one, and I'll give us one.
Yeah, so probably the one that we see most frequently is with Oklahoma Housing Finance Agency, and it is a down payment or closing cost assistance program up to 3.5%. So if we're doing an FHA loan and FHA requires 3.5% down payment, then that is covered by Oklahoma Housing Finance Agency's loan program. It's a bond program that gets a little bit more in the weeds than we probably want to go.
Right.
But it is an outstanding loan program.
And it's just a boost. And used to, you had to be a first-time home buyer to get that. And now you're considered a first-time home buyer if you've not owned a home in 3 years, right?
That is correct. But they actually have a loan program that isn't first-time home buyer requirement.
Is that the Dream program?
That is the Dream program, and there are really there are solid characteristics associated with that program, i.e., the combined household income can go up to $150,000.
Because the bond program, you can't make $150,000 and get the free down payment assistance.
Well, you can under the Dream program.
Under the Dream program.
Right. But the other program, I think they refer to as Gold program. Mm-hmm. There are county limits.
And isn't it like $68,000?
It is. It's
$68,400 or something like that?
It's a percentage of the medium income. I want to say 20%. I may not be 100% accurate on that.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, it's in that 60 to low 70 range, depending on county.
Well, and depending on the number of people in your house sometimes.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
It is household, total household.
But the thing is, just go to somebody who knows about the programs. I'm going to throw another one out there. There is also Grandpa that has stuck money away, and he wants to give it to granddaughter to buy her first house. So you can do a gift.
Correct.
Right?
That is correct.
So someone who loves you, that was always Perry Duncan saying, is, do you have anybody who loves you? Do they have the means to help you purchase this home? And it cannot be a loan. It has to be a gift, right?
A gift, yes. And it is, it's tightly documented, so involves what we refer to as a gift letter from the giftor. That is another option.
That's a legit way to get into a house with zero money down.
Correct.
And then one other way is we've already talked about the rural housing, they call it, USDA loan. It requires a zero down payment.
Correct.
So we've got more to talk about.
If you're sitting there wondering whether or not you can qualify for a home loan, you need to give Dean or I a call at SWBC Mortgage. We will walk you through the process and the loan programs.
And how do you find that number?
Go to BeckyIvins.com, click on favorites, and their number is 858-7700.
858-7700. 7770, right?
7770. I missed a 7
okay.
there. 7770.
7770. Yep. Triple sevens. It's a lucky number. So we'll return with more right after this and a very special smoking hot deal with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000, KTOK.
Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to News Radio 1000 KTOK or on your podcast by subscribing anywhere you subscribe podcasts. You can subscribe to this.
Okay. This is Becky Ivins. broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins real estate team. And I want you to go to BeckyIvins.com. You can see all the new listings. It's live. So if something goes pending, like gets a contract on it while you're looking, it's going to change from an active listing to a pending listing. And so BeckyIvins.com, any of our favorites is under the favorites tab. And Matt, you and Dean with SWBC Mortgage are our favorites. So you, and nobody pays to be on there. So that's a really good thing. So you have to earn your, earn the trust on there. So Matt, thank you very much.
Thank
for
you
being
for
here
me.
Today.
Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Matt McLean with SWBC Mortgage. If you wonder if you or a friend or relative can get into a house with zero down or almost zero down, I want you to call Matt. It is at 858-7770. Call me or go on to BeckyIvins.com. I'm pretty easy to reach, 722-3232. Mark, thank you.
And thank you, Becky.
We'll see you next week. We have got a very educational program with Ken McBride of Chicago Title next week. You'll want to stay, you'll want to tune in for that. Stay tuned for Eunice Corey. She'll be right up right after this. Thanks for tuning in to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.